Dear friends in Jesus Christ, if we go back to December 7th, 1941, really a sad and difficult day there in Pearl Harbor with a surprise attack by the air service of the Imperial Japanese Navy. The day was horrible for a couple key reasons. The day was horrible because the attack was unexpected and the military personnel in that place, they were unprepared. Such a sad situation for our nation on that day. In the sermon today, we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 12, just three verses today out of Daniel 12, the first three in that chapter. As we think about this, what's going on here is Daniel lived about 2,600 years ago, but we have God the Father communicating to Daniel by the Holy Spirit in order to tell us God's plan for the end of the world. Isn't that amazing that all those years ago, that's what was being communicated? As we take a look at it today, let us know that God's plans in every way will certainly come to pass, and especially his plan regarding the end of the world. It's going to happen just as he has planned out. Therefore, it's so important for us to realize that we may be living in the midst of that plan right now. So what's important for us? It's important that we expect Jesus' return and that we are prepared for Jesus' return. And it shouldn't be like a back and forth kind of a thing. We should expect it moment by moment. We should be prepared moment by moment. And when we, by God's grace, know our Lord Jesus Christ and we are living in repentance, then we are prepared. May God always keep us in that situation. Let's get right into our text here. We come, first of all, to a topic of great distress. The Bible says, so we're in Daniel 12, verse 1, "Now at that time, Michael." Who is Michael? Michael comes up in various places in the Bible. He is referred to as an archangel. But yet, when we study Michael carefully, he seems to actually be our Lord Jesus Christ. Because even Gabriel, you'll see in the book of Daniel, was unsuccessful against the forces of evil. But when Michael shows up, then he's able to win the victory. You'll see Michael pop up in various places in the Bible, and it seems to be Jesus. And even the name Michael means one who is like God. So all these things seem to point in that direction. Anyway, it says, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time." So how great will the distress be? Well, we have to ask ourselves, when were there nations, or when does the Bible record there being nations for the first time? So if we go back to creation and we go all the way up to the time when Noah was commanded to build the ark. So that's about 1,550 years from creation. The Bible never records about a nation. But it's after, though, after the worldwide flood, and in the years to follow, not that many years to follow, that is when we have the first record of nations appearing in Genesis chapter 10. What this is saying here is the time of the worldwide flood, that was the time of greatest distress ever in the entire world. However, though, the time spoken of here in Daniel, talking about the return of Jesus, that will be the second greatest time of distress. So God wants us to understand it that way, I believe. And then, why the great distress? Well, I'm going to have a couple quotes today out of the People's Bible Commentary on Daniel, and here's the first one. It says, "The Antichrist will lash out in desperate fury to seduce the people of God and to undermine their faith in Christ." Is that going on today? Are the devil and the forces of evil, are they hard at work in order to pull us away from Jesus? By all means, When we think about the devil and the forces of evil, they're not like involved in all kinds of different things, so they have to like divide their time. Their whole goal is to get a hold of you and me who are clinging to Christ and to get us to back away a little bit and think, oh, this will be okay. I don't need to really hang on to him. I can back away a little bit. It'll be fine. And then what happens is we move another inch and an inch and an inch and an inch, and yet we wake up one day and realize we're no longer in Christ. That is what the devil is doing. Or what does the Bible say there in 1 Peter? It says the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Let's go on to the topic of God's rescue. Picking up here in verse 1 yet of Daniel 12, it says, "And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued." So what time are we talking about? We are talking about the time when Jesus returns. That's the time being spoken about. Now, what people are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the people whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. Take a look like in Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll see more about that. So God has chosen us before creation. God has washed us clean from our sins in the blood of the Lamb. And God has kept us up to this very day in the one true faith. We are so blessed. We are much more blessed than most people in the entire world. Let's understand that. Can our lives be difficult sometimes as we follow Christ, as we cling to Him? By all means. Will our lives be unbelievably wonderful forever and ever? By all means. God wants us to know it's going to be worth it, no matter how difficult things might become, because we are close to Jesus. It's all going to be worth it. Let us never give up, no matter what. And then I want to mention here about the Book of Life. So the Bible does mention it in a number of places. I'm going to share just two places here from the book of Revelation. Last week I mentioned how in chapters 2 and 3 we have the seven letters to the seven churches. So here in chapter 3, here is part of one of the letters. Jesus said, "He who overcomes, I will never erase his name from the book of life." What does it mean to overcome? That's talking about the people who, by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, those people who continue to cling to Jesus Christ. They are the overcomers. We do that not by our power. We do it by the power of God. But we are working in cooperation with God, though. Before we were in Christ, we were dead in our sins. We could do nothing to cooperate with God. However, though, now that we are alive in Christ, and now that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, now we have the ability to cooperate with God. When God says to us, "Open your Bible," we should open it. When God tells us, "Gather with other believers week after week," when God tells us to talk to Him in prayer, all these things, we can say no to them. We have the ability to say no, but God wants us to cooperate with Him. God wants us to put Him first in our lives. And those are all the ways that God is at work to keep us in Christ. Now we come to a time when people are raised from being dead. And for some, they will be raised to life. Others will be raised to disgrace. Now we're in verse 2, and the Bible says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." So first of all, we might ask the question, who are sleeping? The ones who are sleeping would include all who have died. Whether they died in Christ or not in Christ, they're all sleeping. Can you or I wake them up? We can't, but when Jesus comes, He will wake them all up. But you would think, though, wait a minute, they were dead, and now they're woken up, so they're all alive. But the Bible doesn't talk about unbelievers being raised to life. It talks about unbelievers, yes, being raised by all means, but not to life, to something horrible rather than to something wonderful. When Jesus comes, then everyone of all time, they're going to finally see that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the ultimate winner, and that all who continue to cling to him, they are the winners too, even though right now it doesn't seem that way. The Bible tells us that the last enemy to be abolished is death. Right now, that enemy has not yet been abolished, even as we think about our brother Bruno passing away this last week. But as I think about that, though, Miriam, I hope you take a look at my sermon from last week. But we talked about what's going on in heaven right now and how wonderful it is. And when I got that phone call on Thursday, right away, I'm thinking that there is Bruno right up there with those people. So he is so blessed. We have that to look forward to as well. So one day, clinging to Christ, one day God's going to bring us out of this great tribulation and take us home to the glory of heaven, well, in soul and spirit. And then, as we're reading about here, the final day when Jesus comes and raises our bodies back to life. The Bible says in Acts 24, it says, "There shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." As righteous ones, we want to be raised. We're looking forward to that. For the wicked ones, they're hoping there is no resurrection, but yet the Bible is clear, they will also be raised. Who will be raised to life? Well, those who continued in Christ to the end. So those are the ones who will be raised to life, and it's all to God's glory. Think about the sermon again last week where we saw those believers around the throne, and they're giving God all the praise, all the credit, all the glory. They knew that they are sinners, that they should not be there, but yet they are there. That's because of what God has done in sending his Son, so they are giving God all the credit right there in heaven. Even now, we know that, and it's going to be a no-brainer that when we get there, it's like, wow, God, this is amazing. I know I deserve none of this, but look at what I have, and we're going to want to give all the credit to God as well. However, though, for all the others who refused to repent, or for the others where the devil inched them away from Christ more and more and more until they fell away and they never did repent. They were never brought back to Jesus Christ. For those people, it's going to be a very sad situation. I want to share one more quote today out of the People's Bible Commentary. It's a little bit longer, but it's a tough quote, but it does fit right in with what the Bible teaches. It says, "This idea goes down hard for many people who picture God as a lovable but spineless being who wouldn't do anything worse to a person than a slap on the wrist." Don't many people think that as we go through life? They're like, oh, we heard God is love, and certainly there must be something wonderful. Oh, God would never do anything horrible. But yet, that's not what the Bible teaches. The quote goes on and it says, "That is not the picture the Bible paints of God," this idea of a slap on the wrist. "The same God who, at the time of Noah, threw oceans of water over the mountaintops, drowning a whole world of screaming people. The same God who once scorched Sodom and Gomorrah in a hurricane of fire. The same God who fed wicked Queen Jezebel to the dogs, that same God still reigns in heaven. And he has told us that what he has done before, he will do again." What is the answer for people we know who do not know Jesus? We're going to come to that here in just a moment. Let's go on to the final part today, eternal blessings. So it says in verse 3, "Those who have insight," that means understanding, "those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So those who have insight, those who have understanding, what is it that we should understand? Well, we should understand that only those who know Jesus will be welcomed into heaven. When we begin to think about that topic, you know, we might say, oh, I know this friend, and she is just such a nice person, and she doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, but she's so nice, she's so kind, she's so helpful, certainly God would let her into heaven. Well, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So we shouldn't let our thoughts begin to tell us that something is true when the Bible says it is not true. It's always good to stick with God's truth. What is natural for those who are believers? I believe it is natural that we care about the salvation of other people. If we think about ourselves, we should realize there is nothing more important for me, not even close of anything being more important for me than knowing Jesus and one day being with God forever. Again, nothing else is close. So because that is so important for me, and I believe that's also super important for you, then we should think about other people. And for those who do not know Jesus, we should be like so sad for them that they are missing out so much now. They are, in many cases right now, with the state of the world, they are living in such fear of what's going on in the world. They are living with such fear of the prospect of death. And then, when you think about beyond death, it's going to be horrible for them forever and ever. How can we just like let our friends and loved ones go through life like that, filled with so much fear, and then going on to a horrible eternity? So we care about them, don't we? It's hard to express that sometimes to people because we think, oh, people don't want to hear what we have to say. But let me give you some ideas on how we can care about people. First of all, we should equip ourselves with God's truth. If we don't know the truth of God well, it's going to be hard for us to be a blessing to others. So when we know it well for ourselves, that's going to be great for us. And then as opportunities arise, we're going to be able to use that truth to be a blessing for others. So it's important that we gather like this, important that we open our Bibles day by day, important to come to Bible class, and so on. Also, too, we pray for the salvation of others. So I would invite you to not just think about people that you know, but actually make a list and put it with your Bible, put it with your other things that you're praying about, and actually pray for people day by day, calling upon God to work in their lives. Some people think they're doing fine when they don't know Jesus, so maybe our prayer is, Dear Father in heaven, open so-and-so's heart and mind to see that he is not doing fine, that he is in grave trouble. See, people have to get to that point first. When they know they're in great trouble, then they're going to be open to receiving help. So sometimes we need to pray that God would show them the great trouble that they are in. So we pray for people. Another way we can care about them is we share the Bible with them. So as we are reading in the Bible, we might come across a verse and think, oh, this is a great verse for so-and-so. So we've just come upon it ourselves, and there are so many ways then that we can pass that on to others. We can text it to them. We can email it to them. We can call them on the phone and speak the verse over the phone. We can write a note and mail it to them. So many different ways of getting that word of God to other people. And why is the word of God so important? The Bible makes it clear that God has chosen to work upon human hearts by his Spirit through his word. So when we give them the word and they read that word, what's going on? The Holy Spirit is at work. Also, too, it's important to invite others to church. Sometimes we might think, I'm not sure what to say to my friend, but I'd love for them to know Jesus and go to heaven, so invite them to church. Or invite them to Bible class. That's also another thing to do. And then we learn to answer concerns. I'm not sure if any of you have done this or not. I hope that you all have. But you might be thinking, okay, here I am a believer, and I want to be able to help other people know Jesus. But I think, though, that when I begin to say this, I think they're going to bring up this issue. So we can kind of imagine that in advance, and then we might say, okay, now that I know that's a possibility, I'm going to make sure I dig into the Bible, so when this issue comes up, I'm already going to have a Bible answer. So we are in advance getting ready for that type of thing. Or I think about that man who lived, oh, I guess it's been 50 years ago or more, named Dawson Troutman. But Dawson Troutman was used by God in some powerful ways. Such an interesting story of his life. Don't have time for that now. But anyway, though, he was a man that God brought to Christ through him memorizing the Bible before he was even a Christian. Then God used those verses finally to bring him to Christ. And once God brought him to Christ, he realized how powerful the Bible was. So he's the one who said, I'm going to memorize 3 Bible passages every day. After 1 year of being a Christian, he had already memorized over 1,000 verses in the Bible. The other thing he did was he said, I'm never going to be stumped twice on a Bible question. So in other words, you know, he knew what he knew. He's interacting with other people. Yeah, somebody might have some kind of a concern or a question, and he doesn't know the answer. But he was determined, though, that every time that happened, he would dig into the Word of God, he would find the answer, and next time that came up, he would be ready. That's a great way to function. When we do that, we as individuals are going to benefit so much, and then we are going to be equipped to be able to help others. Finally, we rejoice with all who believe. Here we are today. I hope you're rejoicing in your heart. I'm rejoicing in mine. So it's good to get together. When we see each other, we are an encouragement to each other. So it's important to have those together times, even like today. Yes, the end is coming, just as God has promised. Maybe we are getting close, we don't know. But let's know, though, that in Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are ready for come whatever, but no matter what happens, no matter how difficult things become, let us never get pulled away from Jesus, but rather let us cooperate with the work of the Spirit in our lives, and let us stay close to Him, and may God even use us to bring others to join up with us, so that there will be more and more of us finally to celebrate with God forever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we know you are coming at the appointed time. We know the date has already been set. So between now and then, we pray that you would powerfully work in our lives to keep us close to you, to grow us even more in the Bible, and to move us with love, with courage, and with conviction to be an eternal blessing to others. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.